Welcome to the Zonta on the Move podcast. I'm Bonnie Winfrey, along with co-hosts and producers Pat Perrier and Lisa Pappas. We have a great podcast for you today. Have you heard of Zonta's 16 Days of Activism? Well, it is our Zonta Say No to Violence campaign. We have a great guest here with us today by the name of Isabel Vidal, Governor Isabel Vidal. She was the in-house counsel for State Farm Mutual Automobile Insurance Company's Law Department at its Bloomington, Illinois headquarters 29 years ago. She's trained and supervised a team of outside counsel in virtually all 50 states over the course of her career.
Retiring on April Fool's Day 2021, she has outside interests, which include serving as a board member for the Market on the Hill, a cooperative community grocery store with a focus on local food, teaching CCD classes at church, helping with annual retreats at church where she led the kitchen staff in designing the menu, cooking and serving the retreat attendees all their meals for the weekend.
And in addition to fundraising for various organizations, Isabel is board president of Love Repeated, a 501c3 charity that sponsors a hospital and secondary education for students in Tanzania. She's also the secretary and board member for a nursing home group and has been a member of the Zonta Club of Lincoln, Illinois since November 2015, when a very dear friend and member invited her to a meeting. She jumped at the chance to become a Zontian. She went from being a new member to vice president, president, area 3 director in District 6, lieutenant governor, and then governor for District 6. She loves to help in any way she can, cook for large groups, and had the opportunity to help with the 2020 convention, present an experimental workshop at the 2017 District 6 Fall Conference in Madison, and virtually presented at the 2021 NAIDM. Although she's retired from the practice of law, she's recently accepted a position at her church as one of the parish secretaries maintaining parish records, creating and publishing the four-parish bulletin, and assisting with other duties as requested.
Let's welcome Governor Isabel Vidal. Governor Isabel, how long have you been a member of Zonta?
I attended my very first meeting in November of 2015 when a dear friend who has since passed away invited me, knowing me full and well and that it would be a perfect fit. And of course, she was right. So because I signed the dotted line that night. I have been a Zontian since November of 2015, but I think my fees were remitted in March of 2016. So give or take a number of years.
That is great. So why were you interested, would you say, in the very beginning?
Oh, well, just going up a little bit into my background, I am Cuban by birth, and my parents and myself and my little sister escaped communism to continue to have the freedoms that they were accustomed to. And we left Cuba by way of Jamaica and were helped over to the United States through Catholic charities. And it's because of that experience and my parents' very, very courageous decisions that have spent my entire adult life trying to do the good that they have had done while I was growing up, because they spent a good deal of their young adult lives escaping communism, starting from scratch, because we were only allowed to take one suitcase for all four of us. No money, no jewelry, no nothing. And so they were able to begin again. And one of the very first things they did was to start helping others, including family members, to escape the same situation from Cuba. And so our house was always one where things were purchased only to be given to others to use And so we constantly had new pots and pans, new beds, new whatever it took, because they were going to give the shirt off their back to complete strangers. And so I had this absolute need to at least try and do something nominal compared to what they did. And that's what drew me to Zonta, the fact that its focus is building a better world for women and girls. And that's exactly what my parents did for myself and my sister.
Wow, that's interesting. So what makes you most proud to be a member of Zonta?
Again, I think it comes back to the devotion to improving the lives of women and girls everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many instances where you find women and girls in less than perfect situations for themselves, where they have to fight tooth and nail just to get a meal, let alone to survive. And so it's that aspect of what we're able to do locally and nationally and more importantly, globally, mm-hmm. Given my background, mm-hmm. that keeps me very, very focused on being a member of ZI, of Zonta International.
So when you were thinking about being a part of Zonta, did you feel that you would rise to the position of governor? Is that always in the plan?
Never was in the plan. Because I was working a full-time job as a litigator, and I worked probably anywhere from 15 to 20 hours a day. And that was never my expectation. Though I appreciate the fact that others have a good deal of confidence in my leadership abilities. Whatever they might be.
I think that's the magic of Zonta, though, is because you can come in just saying, I enjoy working with women who are like-minded. I enjoy working with women who have a common goal. And then you are challenged and offered the opportunity to do these things that improve your own growth. And if you're willing to take that challenge, that's part of the attraction of Zonta, I think.
Well, I appreciate that there's a group of women who take a lot of time and a lot of energy and focus on the potential for future leaders, and that we actually mine that, mm-hmm. and that we support people. And you know, a lot of that has taken foot after my being invited and saying yes to leadership positions. But again, I am your basic type A. So if I don't know how to do it, I'll figure out how to make it happen. So,
I think there are a lot of us like that.
Yeah. And I love working with other people.
Let's talk about our upcoming 16 Days of Activism. I mean, that's really exciting. Can you tell our audience all about it?
All about it? Perhaps not, but I can definitely hit on some highlights.
Just
some
hit the highlights for us.
We'll help you.
We have some details, too.
So, gosh, it's been the focus of Zonta International since 2012, and it has evolved over those years to become something that is fairly well-structured.
Mm-hmm.
They do an excellent job at ZI in providing the clubs and the districts with tools for putting on events, for grabbing the attention of whoever might be your focus, be it your city council, your community, the legislature, and obviously it's a little bit different in the United States versus elsewhere, but it is put together in such a fashion that it can apply globally. Mm-hmm. And it is, in its essence, a way to empower clubs to bring to whomever is their focus how everyone should be committed to saying no to violence against women, to gender-based violence. And that has been the focus since 2012, and it has evolved since then. And I think it kind of works hand in hand with the mission and the vision of Zonta.
I'm really excited about what our club is doing. Pat and Lisa, they always have a fantastic PR social media plan in place. And why don't you guys talk about that for a little bit?
I would love to hear what y'all are doing.
Go ahead, Lisa. You start.
Sure. So we really focus on sharing tips and just facts. You know, on social media, we try to really focus on using the 16 days hashtag. This year, we're going to use the no excuse hashtag that comes from the UN. We really hope that we can encourage people beyond just our Zonchans to take notice of the campaign. You know, the Zonta Says No campaign runs from November 25th through December 10th. It starts on the International Day for, which is
the elimination of violence against women.
And it concludes on December 10th, which is Human Rights Day. A lot of people have no idea what those days are. So it's really a way for us to bring awareness to those days that are also about bringing awareness to violence against not just women, but gender-based violence, which I think is something that Zonta has been growing into, not just saying that it's violence against women, but it's gender-based violence. So we're really trying to focus on that with a really strong social media campaign. We're also looking at doing...
We're also, in our last meeting, we had a pledge card made up, and we had brought to the attention of our club that this is a pledge that you can bring home to your family. You can talk to your family members, your kids, your spouse, your partner, and bring awareness. We get so caught up in Zonta with the issues of making a better world for women and girls. And I think people, in some aspects, might tune out about that. And they know about, you know, the Orange campaign, and they know about October being Domestic Violence Prevention Month. But these 16 days, this is where we can interact by writing letters to the editor and by posting to our legislators and our council people on their pages and contacting our city councils and speaking up at meetings and just saying, these 16 days have been specifically set aside, bookended by these two particular days, and expanding the awareness. It's not just, it is a hashtag, but it goes beyond that, because we're trying to educate people and then bring to light what it is that we're doing. We're going to hold a rally / march in downtown Joliet, and we're inviting men to join us. And it's not just stand there and, you know, stand there and be a guy. We want to do man on the street interviews and literally say to them, why do you support the women? Why are you in support of this issue? Tell us, because their voices carry weight, our voices carry weight, but collectively we make a huge choir. And we make more noise when there's more of us.
And so we will have...
So part of your plan is to create some allyship?
Absolutely.
Yes, so you're creating allies?
Yes.
Yes, we're going to have elected officials speak too, but I think it's really important. The last time I was at a Take Back the Night, which seems to get way more publicity, as it should, it's a wonderful event, we actually had signs, little placards that people could write their message on. And we had everybody that was there. If you stood still long enough, we don't care who you were, we handed you a marker and a placard and asked you to write something and put it on our website. We put it on our social media. Mm-hmm. We had community television there. We really want to have this to be a community-based movement.
And movement is the key word. And for the men to be sending the message that we support women, we're not against them. A lot of times it's just women, Zonta women in the past, having the march. We want to show that there's a unity with men being in the forefront. And what's really interesting is that our politicians for this area, they can't wait until we have this event. It will be on December 6th, and we're hoping for no snowstorm, and we're hoping for 70-degree weather.
Oh, you're hoping for that weather, Bonnie.
I am. And we will be marching.
Like 50 in sunshine.
Right, to our local courthouse, and where we'll have chairs and, you know, podium set up for different people to speak as well.
So the thing that I would like to point out too is I think that this would, you know, Governor Isabel, we're always talking in Zonta about recruitment. Mm-hmm. We're always talking about retention, recruitment. We're talking about gathering more people into our fold. And I think that projects like this are more influential among millennials and the Gen Zs. So, you know, millennials 1981 to 96 and the Gen Zs 1997 to 2012. There, we want to have people aware that we don't just sit around and have meetings.
Right.
We do stuff.
And it's important, especially if your focus is trying to increase that population, because they are action oriented. They aren't. So a lot of them, I think, when they think of a service club, they think of men and or women sitting around shooting the breeze, and they know they have big action items that they do. But I think that they look at that as an infrequent and that it's more an opportunity for getting together and chit-chatting, and we know that it's so much more than that. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. in order to attract them in the first place, we have to show them that we are engaged and that we would love to have their support and their engagement as well. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, they have a lot of iron in the fire at all times, mm-hmm. and they're going to pick and choose how they spend their time. Whereas, you know, our generation, well, at least, I can speak for myself. I have always had a hard time saying no. I have typically said yes when someone has asked for help, because that was my role model, you know? Mm-hmm. You need help? I'm here. I'm here to serve. I'm here to bolster you. I'm here to do what I can. And they just need to know that we do have that service component to everything that we do.
Absolutely.
I think service is just...
And when you talk about the pledge, are you talking about the Zonta Says No to Violence Against Women?
Pledge? Yes. That's the pledge that we asked everyone to take. Yep. Yeah.
Excellent.
And the thing that... one of the things that when I talk to people about Zonta... and I'd like to get your take on how you would answer this, Governor Isabel, is a lot of times they ask either directly, depending on how well they know me, or a little more obliquely, basically, what's in it for me? And so if we can get past that aspect that you just pointed out about, you know, having the dinner and, you know, maybe doing a fundraiser too, I think that's their impression. So when we do these kind of things where we're reaching way outside of a box that they seem to have put us in.
Yeah.
That seems to catch, they're like, you do that sort of stuff? You march and you get in front of city councils? And the more we can say, heck yeah, that's what we do.
Yeah.
You know.
They see us in action. And
yeah.
That's the thing. And that's part of our slogan on Zonta, on the move. We have several events to let people know what we're all about, you know, as we help people. We have our Z Club. We'll draw them in for the march to help and participate and to learn what the 16 days of activism is all about. And I know that different clubs are focusing on different plans, and you probably know more about this than we do because you have more clubs under you. What are some of the other clubs doing for the 16 days of activism?
I actually wrote down a couple of things because we currently have 21 clubs in District 6.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, we're broken up into five different areas, and those areas are found within three different states. Now, we're all in the Midwest, Illinois, Indiana, and Wisconsin. But I think along with the things that we have in common, we have a lot of differences in what the members of those communities might have. So the activities that have been slated to occur over the next 16-plus days, because a lot of this is starting probably as early as next week. If not, there's a couple of clubs that are doing membership open houses to kind of introduce themselves to potential new members. And as part of that, they also have typically a special speaker. So, for instance, I attended the membership drive that they had in Janesville, Wisconsin, and they had a photographer whose current, I think she has a show that she has at the library in Janesville, and it is dealing with Indigenous peoples and the Native Americans from the Wisconsin area, and they cover a number of nations. And so that was part of the membership drive, which was fascinating because you had a number of different reasons for why people were there, but it all kind of overlapped with what Zonta's all about. And
That's
that awesome. Is respect and expanding the footprint of our club and engaging others. And it was fascinating. so we have that happening. We also have, as you pointed out, a number of clubs are writing or have submitted articles to their local newspapers. One of the clubs is handing out thousands of 16 days of activism ribbons at holiday events. So they go to the various events that are being held in their towns, and they hand out these mementos, this evidence of an incredibly important thing to not forget about, that although we're all enjoying the holidays, we're reminded that not everyone is necessarily in a celebratory mood, that there are many women and girls, even locally, that are subject to bullying, that are subject to violence, and that have needs. And so by kind of interacting with that celebration and that reminder of, remember that this is important, that violence against women, that gender-based violence is not acceptable, I think is an amazing idea. Mm-hmm. We have local buildings and bridges that are being lit up in orange, again, yes, as reminders. Mm-hmm. And those work hand-in-hand with the walks that are occurring and the articles in the newspapers, and if some of them, I'm hoping, I've been pushing that they remember to call their local television broadcasters, mm-hmm, because they're always looking for these stories. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what better story than to say, hey, it's important to remember this bit of information mm-hmm. that women and girls are typically the subject of violence and to a much lesser degree than men. Mm-hmm. We have social media campaigns that are occurring to increase awareness and also to develop new allies, because that's part of what we hope to accomplish in the next, not only in the next biennium as goals, but in the next foreseeable future, the next 7 to 10 years, and is to work with other like-minded organizations. And when you engage in these outward opportunities, then you can see where there's overlap and where there are opportunities to work together. Mm-hmm. We also have resolutions that are being sought from local and state government officials. We decorate a holiday tree on our courthouse foyer every year, and this year we're going to be doing it completely in orange and providing the backup for that in terms of why is the tree orange. Mm-hmm. Again, to remind everybody that we're celebrating the holidays, but mm-hmm. we're also concerned about the violence.
Mm-hmm. I literally wrote that down to ask you about that. I literally wrote down Christmas tree because I thought, you know, we used to have a festival of trees around.
Yes, we
you
did.
Know,
I used to MC
thought,
those.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be awesome to have a tree decorated?
In orange, yeah.
And you just did it. That's yep. That is fantastic.
We always cover that event.
Well, and what's wonderful is that the organization that's behind the courthouse, it's called the Winter Wonderland on the courthouse square. And they will take whatever descriptor you want, and our description is all about Zonta, and Zonta says no. And so we have an opportunity to explain to the public, and we always hang a QR code on the tree as
nice.
Well,
oh, that's
so
great.
That if they want to learn more about Zonta, they can. And it's easy. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is point a camera and click. So,
yep.
And we also have, like we've talked about, the Zonta Says No Walk in the various communities. Some of them are actually doing screenings of movies mm-hmm. like The Sound of Freedom and Ratified, which, again, is creates a platform for having that discussion with others who might be thinking about joining an organization like ours. And it gives you an opportunity to kind of create a mindset for an exchange of ideas. Because if you are talking to what essentially are complete strangers, you can get some amazing new ideas, especially if those strangers are made up of, you know, a cross-section of the generation that currently exists in most towns. And then, of course, this year, Zonta International has put together the Zonta Says No Summit online, mm-hmm. and I'm really looking forward to that. This will be my first year participating in that opportunity.
Can you talk a little bit
That's
more about
just
the summit?
Some of what we're doing. Oh, I'm sorry.
Can you talk a little bit more about the summit? It's an all day. All I can remember is an all day, and there's like three different speakers. It's totally virtual. It's on. Is it December 10th?
Yeah, December 10th.
It is December 10th, and there's a general admission of
$10,
and that $10 mm-hmm. is going directly to the Zonta Foundation for Women, the International Service Fund, which is used to support the global initiatives that address gender-based violence. And they do have three speakers, and shoot, I don't know if I have any notes in front of me that I can look at. But I do know one of them is a psychologist, mm-hmm. and I'm very interested in what she's going to be talking about, because I think her presentation could go 15 different ways, and I'm really interested to see what her focus is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it going to be the psychology of the victim? Is it going to be the psychology of the actor? Is it going to be what we as supporters can do? So I don't have a lot of information about what she's intending, but if you're not already signed up, I urge you to do so.
So it is open to the public, right?
Yeah, it's totally open to the public.
I believe it is.
Oh, yeah, we can start promoting the heck out of that.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a problem at all.
Yep. All they have to do is go to zontasaysno.com/online-summit.
Cool. Perfect.
Let me ask you something. You've been a part of Zonta for quite a while, and the 16 days of activism. On the other side of this, what have you seen as far as its impact? What it has done, maybe brought more people in as members, or I know it creates awareness. Do you have any other stories?
Huh. So I can only tell you locally the impact that we have. And as you know, District 6 has, for the second biennium, decided that its district-wide project will be to address food insecurity. And in our neck of the woods, we're very rural. Well, we have a few large towns. Nothing even approaching the size of Joliet, but towns is the word I would use. I would not use city. But they're kind of close-knit communities, and people know each other, and more importantly, people will trust and respect organizations when they earn that trust and respect. And because we've been making this effort to help with that food insecurity, which is, I would say, not only a problem in rural areas and urban areas, but statewide, including, and I'm sad to say this out loud, in our universities and our colleges. They have food banks. And I think first we need to consider supporting them as well. We do a really good job about taking care of our community, but maybe we need to be taking care of that generation that's going to be our future. And so what we do is we try and have these collections, and we have in our area 3 or 4 different food pantries. We don't have food banks, but food pantries that we support on a regular basis. And obviously we do that with food, with period products, with incontinence products, because our elderly also have needs, and they should be met too, be they men or women. It is a part of their life that maybe perhaps we don't think about. Obviously, we know that women and girls have menstrual periods, but are we thinking about the incontinence that comes with age?
Mm-hmm.
I've had people call and ask about that, and so we're making a more concerted effort to gather a wider breadth of products, including food.
That makes sense. Yeah.
And then we just take a turn, dividing it between all of the food pantries, not only in Logan County, but mm-hmm. in Lincoln, the town that I live in.
Mm-hmm.
But there are other food pantries that are even further out mm-hmm. within the county that perhaps don't get as much in the way of donations. And then the other thing that we've done, and I know some might not think of it as very impactful, but in the last year, we've put together, by now probably about 100, more or less, birthday party kits, for lack of a better description. Basically, we donate them 30 or 40 at a time to the food pantries to give out to either, you know, the elderly patrons that they have who probably haven't celebrated a birthday in forever, or for the young children in some of the clientele that they have who may not have had an opportunity to have a party because they don't have the means for that. Mm-hmm. And so we're trying to be more
inclusive,
open-minded about inclusive. What their needs might be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've noticed that too. Are you talking about the birthday kit where it's like the 8-inch square aluminum pan and you have a cake mix and a box of soda, or a can of soda and a box of frosting? And then the...
Well, we do a 9x13.
Okay.
We do the mix, we do the soda, we do... Yeah, actually, we've been doing the one with 7-Up, but
yeah.
I heard one with root beer, and it's like, well, that sounds really fascinating. And then we also give them the full-on party.
Right.
We include candles and plates and utensils and tablecloths and everything that you might need to celebrate someone. And
Yeah,
I think we've been concentrating on the confetti cakes because, you know, we're more looking at the younger children who may not have celebrated a birthday in who knows how long. So
yeah, but, you know, everybody loves a confetti cake.
Yeah. Well, and it's been very, very well received.
Yeah.
So it's just little things. When you think about the needs of others, you know, the first thing that comes to you is, you know, that can of vegetables, the can of fruit, the mm-hmm. pasta, the sauces. But, you know, don't forget, some of these people may not have a can opener.
Right,
so
right.
That's true.
Yeah.
Include a can opener or get the pop top kind.
Mm-hmm.
So there, I think we're hopefully going to be making an impact for this second biennium in helping with that food insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
Since we're doing it across the board in the entire district.
That is great.
Yeah.
So when you think of the fact that you are the governor for District 6, and I know you just talked about some things, but can we hear more about your vision for the area? Yes, we wanted to go there.
Wow. So, you know, it's not so much... Okay. So this kind of all boils down to perhaps leadership style. I am working very hard at being an inclusive leader. And so, yes, I have a vision. Yes, I have a set of expectations that I need to meet. But more importantly, I want to know, how do we get this done? How do we accomplish these missions with the feedback, the involvement, and the buy-in of all of the members? Because what we need is to be a cohesive unit where we all lift up one another, and we don't, let me think of a way to say this softly, and we work very hard at making our engagement fulfilling and not in any way, shape, or form destructive.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm getting at is we need to be open to new thoughts and new ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And just because it's always been done one way doesn't mean that there aren't other ways to accomplish the same opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where I'm coming from. I would like, and I think we have an amazing group of people and to get this accomplished, and that is to share who we are with others in such a way that they want to walk the path with us and support us and be, and I know I keep saying that word, but, and be our allies.
Mm-hmm.
We can't do it alone. Mm-hmm. We need help from others. And the best way to accomplish that is by giving them the opportunity to join us.
Yeah. I mean, we all have to work together. And I think that your point about a long time ago, I used to work in a convent and we used to call it founder's disease because we have always done it that way. And we're talking about wanting to recruit and we want millennials, we want Gen Z folks, we want women from different varied backgrounds. We don't all want to look the same. We don't all want to think the same. So in order to do that as an organization, as a district, as an area, as a club, we have to open our minds and our hearts and let these ideas come. Are they all going to be great? No, but not all our ideas are great.
Right.
I mean, you know.
What?
Well, yeah, I know that's hard to, I know that's hard to fathom. But, you know, Lisa keeps me honest. And I can't really help it.
I think we, if we just open our eyes and open our hearts, and most importantly, our minds to the thoughts of others and be other focused, it can only lead to great things, in my opinion, because I mean, you're creating an opportunity for, oh my gosh, all sorts of, and I hate using the word again, but creativity.
Mm-hmm.
If we all were made to look alike, wouldn't it be terribly boring?
It would be. And we found, too, like when Lisa and I started really diving into the social media, we noticed that the more outward-facing posts we had, the more engagement we got, the more pictures we had of us doing stuff, like we talked about when Bonnie and I did our presentation. Which is more exciting, all of us sitting there in a group shot, or Mary and Bonnie with a power saw? I mean, come on. So
totally agree.
Yeah.
I mean, action speaks so much louder
than words. Yes.
And having a photograph of action is more impactful.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. It's just been amazing to sit here and talk with you. We've learned so much. You know, when we think of Zonta and the fact that you are the governor for District 6, we know big things are happening. And like Pat said, when we were at the fall conference you put on, that was amazing. And people learned a lot. And I know that you have more coming up as the other conferences coming up in, is it October again? Mm-hmm. In 2025. So thank you for everything that you're doing to teach us all to be better Zantians and to keep that vision of helping people in front of us. And as our motto is Zonta on the Move, that's what we're doing. We have a lot of things planned. We have a fundraiser coming up and some other things. Talk about some of the other things that we have going on.
Oh, gosh. Well, the fundraiser will be March 21st. We will be doing something new this year. We will be featuring local artists and we'll be sampling wines from the region. On March 8th, we will be doing our International Women's Day panel. We're looking to focus on health. That was something that came up at our first inaugural Women's Day panel. Was people wanted to hear more about impacts of health on women, especially women in menopause. So that's going to be our focus for that.
And then we will eventually retool our film festival.
Yes.
And we are working on that. So that's a little bit of a long range out. So I think, Governor Isabel, you've given us a lot to think about.
Mm-hmm.
And we hope that what we've shared will encourage you, too, because, again, we're all in this together. We've learned a lot, and we hope that you've enjoyed your time with us here.
Oh, I have. And just as a reminder, I know you all have something planned that in the works for International Women's Day on March the 8th.
Yes.
Which also happens to be Yellow Rose Day for Zonta.
Yes.
That is also the day of the Area 5 Spring Workshop for the clubs in Area 5, one of which is obviously the Joliet Club. But we picked that date because that happens to be the 100th anniversary of the La Salle Peru Zonta Club.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to celebrate them and their accomplishments as well.
Wonderful.
That's awesome. That's going to be a fun party.
To the extent that your members aren't with you, please have some of them come and join us and celebrate everything that La Salle Peru has accomplished in the 100 years they've been in existence.
Yeah, they're a great club. They're an awesome bunch of gals there who are doing some really good work in their community.
Well, 100 years is amazing.
Well, yeah.
For some.
They look pretty good for 100 years.
Yeah.
Also, impressed with 50.
Zonta is 105,
yeah.
The birthday
yeah.
this year. Yeah. That's great. We're celebrating that as well.
Yeah.
So we have a lot to
absolutely.
To be proud of. You know, we're doing a lot and we're reaching out to helping people and there's more opportunities out there to make this world a better place to be and build a better world for women and girls. And to be involved in something like this is awesome.
Thank you so
much. I very much appreciate the fact that you all do this podcast because it's part of you know, a potential draw for the focus on future members, which obviously is where I am giving that my, for lack of a better description, my motto is focus on the future or focusing on a better future. You know, there are so many ways that you can tie those words to something positive and that's where I hope we're going to be at the end of the next 2 years. So
that's great.
Thank you for all you do. I really appreciate it.
And thank you for coming on with us. We really appreciate your time.
We really do.
Well, I'm surprised this time flew by. I was
we told you it would.
We wouldn't be able to fill it all, but great. I thank you again. You've been very easy to visit with, and that's how I feel. It came across to me anyway. It was
good.
More like a conversational gathering and exchange of ideas. So
that's what we aim for.
That's what we do.
So thank you for being a part of this.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate you.
We wanted to share with you some important statistics in regards to gender-based violence. Estimates from the World Health Organization indicate that globally, about 1 in 3, that's 30% of women worldwide, have been subjected to either physical and or sexual intimate partner violence or non-partner sexual violence in their lifetime. And in 2022, around 48,800 women and girls worldwide were killed by their intimate partners or other family members. This means that on average, more than 5 women or girls are killed every hour by someone in their own family. By the time girls are 19 years old, almost 1 in 4 adolescent girls who have been in a relationship have already been physically, sexually, or psychologically abused by a partner. Globally, 1 in 3 students aged 11 to 15 have been bullied by their peers at school at least once in the past month, with girls and boys equally likely to experience bullying. While boys are more likely to experience physical bullying than girls, girls are more likely to experience psychological bullying. That comes from the United Nations. Every 10 minutes, partners and family members killed a woman intentionally in 2023. The crisis of gender-based violence is urgent. For at least 51,100 women in 2023, the cycle of gender-based violence ended with one final and brutal act, their murder by partners and family members.
Zonta on the Move is hosted and produced by Bonnie Winfrey, Pat Perrier, and Lisa Pappas. It is engineered and edited by Alex Melkars. Zonta on the Move is recorded in the WCSF studio on the campus of the University of St. Francis in Joliet, Illinois. The views reflected in this podcast do not necessarily reflect the views of the University of St. Francis, WCSF, University Administration, or the Catholic Diocese of Joliet.